just 5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Shoot us a text on the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. Our Method Flow products poll question of the day is available at thewholeshow.com. On a scale from 1 to 5, 5 being all-out panic, how concerned are you about the Rams' loss, 30-point loss, to San Diego State on Saturday? You didn't just lose. You lose by 30. I get it. It's a tough place to play in the Viejas Center. There we go. Arena. That's going to be a tough one all day, isn't it? You're coming off of COVID. There was an interesting stat that I found yesterday that teams a couple of games after, really struggle with that layoff. I'm inclined to, and I'm not saying that CSU wins that game, if that was a regularly scheduled situation, whatever, but I don't think it's a 30-point loss. I know it sounds like I'm making excuses, but the Rams, I mean, how many games are you going to see where the bench and the rest of the team outside of Roddy and Stevens have 13 points? You're not going to see it. That's not going to happen again. I will put my name on it right now. That's not going to happen again. It's a very rare thing in all of basketball, even when teams aren't as deep as Colorado State. So let's see what your panic level is. On a scale from 1 to 5, five being all-out panic, how concerned are you? Looks like leading in the clubhouse is 2. You're kind of concerned. 1 would be like, I'm not concerned at all. 2 is like, well, okay, didn't expect a 30-point loss. 3 is, better beat Utah State. You better win like the next 5. 4, of course, is like, yeah, I'm a little concerned here. 5 is, holy crap, are we really going to do this? Are we even going to win the Mountain West? So I don't think it's that bad. I do think tomorrow night's a pretty big game. I think Utah State's a very big game for CSU. So go ahead and vote. I'd like to see what your thoughts are, where this thing ends at the end of the show, at thewholeshow.com. That is our Method Flow products poll question of the day. And right now it's 2. You guys are like 2 on a scale from 1 to 5. 3 just jumped up there. Okay, you're getting a little more concerned by the minute, apparently. Now 3 is leading in the clubhouse. So you're kind of like in the middle of the road. Middle of the road concerned. All right, guys, I got to say something here. I'm still very much like Byron Leftwich as the head coach for the Broncos. I'm very much excited about the prospect. I would like to see it. In my main reasoning behind that, obviously he played in this league. I know that's not always an indicator, but he played fairly recent, right? I was a fan of his growing up. I know that's not everything. But also, you know, obviously he's with Tom Brady. And I know that that's, okay, Brady's working with one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, if not the greatest. I get that. But the year before, obviously with Jameis Winston, they had a top 5 offense in the NFL. And people give him crap. Well, he couldn't develop Jameis Winston. Well, he's only there 1 year. But his first year as offensive coordinator, they were a top five offense with a guy that threw 30 interceptions. So as far as like bashing him, saying he couldn't develop Jameis Winston, it's like, well, he didn't have that long with him. I mean, so being a little harsh there. I feel like we move the field goal posts on all these guys for, you know, he had a top 5 offense, but he couldn't develop Jameis Winston. What's with that? I mean, again, he was only with him for so long. He joined him in 2019, and that was the year they were a top 5 team with Jameis. And then I said, hey, man, if you plug anybody in at that point, a better quarterback in at that point, you're a playoff team. So, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that he should be faulted for not developing a quarterback in his first year. Yeah, but then 2 years later, being around Tom Brady, yeah, year four, whatever. Could he be a head coach after a short time? I mean, he spent time with the Cardinals. He was hired by the Cardinals as a coaching intern in 2016. He rolled through there. I mean, he was great. Obviously, Bruce Arians, he's from that coaching tree. Arians really took a liking to him. Leftwich was then promoted as their quarterback's coach. And Bruce Arians really loved what he saw there. And then the Cardinals fired Mike McCoy. He was promoted to take over as the interim offensive coordinator. And then Leftwich was released by the Cardinals along with, at the time, you know, head coach Steve Wilks. That was after the Bruce Arians situation. So then he goes to, Arians comes back to Tampa Bay, and then bada boom, bada bing, you're rolling again. So I think that Byron Leftwich, to me, it's not like, maybe not the biggest name for a lot of you guys. I know Dan Quinn's there. I just like the idea of it. There's been no requests that I've seen at this stage. So we'll see what happens. I mean, right now the list is growing by the day. You got Dan Quinn, you got Nathaniel Hackett, you got Eric Bieniemy. You got Aaron Glenn, currently the Lions defensive coordinator. Jonathan Gannon, currently the defensive coordinator for Philly. Gerard Mayo, the linebackers coach for the Patriots. Kevin O'Connell, which is an interesting name, currently offensive coordinator for the Rams. And when Staley went to the Chargers after he left the Rams, he wanted to bring Kevin O'Connell over. But Sean McVay blocked that so he could keep his guy. He could only do that so often. So that's an interesting name. And then Kellen Moore is on that list. We expect there to be several more names as we progress through this. Here's where I'm leaning as a safe bet and probably just what's going to happen. As much as I like the idea of bringing in a young, fresh look as a coach in Byron Leftwich, that to me, that would be a nice growth opportunity to grow with the head coach, because that's what I was about last year. And people are comparing Vic to, well, Vic was a first-time coach too. When I say young and fresh and new coach, I mean young and fresh ideas. Vic Fangio's death by inches, you can have a team like that. But even death by inches teams, kind of like the Titans with Derrick Henry, they have to morph. They have to figure out things. Look at Ryan Tannehill. The guy is reborn as a quarterback. So when I say I don't want the old school style right now, I want a fresh coach. I know that Vic Fangio was a new head coach. That was his first time. But I hated that move because a 60-year-old head coach that is this kind of old school type of guy feels like he'd been a head coach a little bit, right? Not experience-wise, because obviously he was not very good as a head coach. I cannot believe that, you know, just some of the decisions that he made would be made again by a line. Vance Joseph made those similar mistakes too. Is that a young coach thing? Is that a new coach thing? Because Vic wasn't young. He's been around the game forever. So I was very shocked, to be honest. I didn't think the Vic Fangio thing was going to work out, but I was very shocked that he did struggle so much with his clock management, with his game time decisions. I was stunned for a guy that's been in the league that long. Suppose you could expect it from a Byron Leftwich, couldn't you? You could expect it from a Vance Joseph. But it was very shocking that Fangio didn't have that concept down. But I don't like the comparison saying, like, well, Vic, you went young, you went to a brand new head coach with Vic. That was a rare situation, too. A guy that just, for whatever reason, was never interested in it or didn't interview that much for a head coach job. I don't know. But I don't think we can just sit here and say, well, it didn't work with Vic and it didn't work with Vance. Those two, that was two totally complete, to me, completely different situations. That being said, I do feel like the writing is on the wall for who their head coach is going to be. I just have this feeling with George Payton's connection with him, his experience, and perhaps the fit right now, and that's going to be Dan Quinn. Unless he turns it down, like the Bears are now requesting an interview. I mean, Dan Quinn would be, I've changed. Last night, I was thinking about this more, going over some more things about Dan Quinn. It just seems like he makes more sense for Denver. I want to see Byron Leftwich get a shot, but here's the deal. What is the one thing Denver has going for them right now? Their defense. Their defense was really, really good. I love defensive-minded coaches. Let me just be very clear on that. That is who I would pick 90% of the time. This is the rare 10% of the time where I was so damn frustrated with Vic Fangio, so damn frustrated with Vance Joseph, that I was ready and am kind of still ready to just flip the script and go with Byron Leftwich. Go with a young and upcoming, offensive-minded guy that's been around greatness in Bruce Arians and Tom Brady. and then go from there. You grow with him. But that's not going to bridge the gap, I think, for the defense. Because the bottom line is, you do have a lot of Broncos free agents coming up, defensive guys, that are probably, you know, do they want to come back? Do you want them to come back, first and foremost? You got a lot of big names on that list that are going to be free agents. Kyle Fuller, do you want him back? Bryce Callahan, do you want him back? Kareem Jackson, you kind of want him back. A.J. Johnson, Alexander Johnson, he got hurt early, but I think everybody was kind of liking the plays he was making. Stephen Weatherly. I mean, there's some good players that I think stepped up in key situations that really balled out for Vic Fangio. Josie Jewell was out. Will he come back? Kenny Young was part of that Rams trade. Can you attract this group to stay together knowing, hey, we were a damn good defense, but our offense was so bad? Do they want to come back to Denver? So that's kind of twofold there. Dan Quinn might be the better bridge guy for this defense, but he's also proven that he can lead everything. I liked what Zach Stevens said yesterday, DNVR Broncos. He said the difference is for the Broncos this year, they're not going to hire, they're going to make sure that when they hire a guy, he's not a defensive coordinator dressing up as a head coach. That this is more of a defensive guy, but he's more of a defensive CEO. He's overseeing it, but he's very comfortable trusting his DC and his position coaches. Might call some games, do whatever, but he's going to do just as much over here on the offensive side. Problem was, as Zach pointed out, John Elway went to Vic Fangio and said, we need our defense to be elite. That's how we're going to win games. We're going to be elite on defense. We're going to run the ball. Da-da-da-da-da. Yet they drafted Drew Lock. We don't have to go back to that. That's square peg, round hole. You guys get that. Dan Quinn might be the better bridge for this Broncos team right now. I'm not nuts about it. I talked about this. I was on with Tanner Schwinn of NoCo Now yesterday, and he had asked me to grade the potential hiring of these coaches. And I pretty much said, anybody that's a retread, I'm going to go with a C. Because I'm over that right now. And I know Vic's not a retread, but when I think of Vic, I do think of retread, and I don't know why. Is it because he's an older coach? Is it because he's got this old school philosophy? Is it because, yeah, I mean, that's what this offense was for the most part, old school. And then suddenly, here's a trick play that we never do. And it worked. The Cortland Sutton one finally worked. I was hesitant, very hesitant about that Vic Fangio hire. 60 years old, his first head coaching job, death by inches. Boy, that sounds like a guy that can develop a young and up-and-coming quarterback in a hip offense, right? Hardly. Can Dan Quinn be a guy that can build up an offense or put the guys in charge to work with a quarterback? And that's my only issue with Quinn. Is he is a defensive-minded guy, and normally I like that. I mean, he was the defensive coordinator for the Seahawks when they worked the Broncos, when they were one of the best, arguably one of the best defenses to ever do it. His second stint with Seattle. So there's, and obviously look what he's doing with Dallas. There's no question. Your transition to defense would be, boom, Dan Quinn, Vic Fangio, almost the same kind of style as far as defense goes. Not style, but skill set. And he's a proven winning head coach. He's been to the Super Bowl. The scary part is after the Super Bowl, that's when things kind of went awry. See, 2016, they win the Super Bowl. They're winning big, and then they get outscored big time, losing to the Patriots. You know, they're up 28-3. They blew the largest lead in Super Bowl history. They lost the game by a score of 34-28. So, yes, very bad. 2017, they finished the year 10-6, so they got a little bit worse. They did make it to the playoffs, though. 2018 continued to get worse. They finished 7-9. 2019, they went 1-7. They thought he was going to be done right then, but they ended up kind of winning some games. They went 7-9, but still not right since the Super Bowl. And then 2020, He lost to the Seahawks, and then he lost a few more down the stretch, and they ultimately moved on from him and their general manager at that point. So the fear is with Quinn is once that Super Bowl was over, he got progressively worse. Now, I'm not saying it's easy to get back to the Super Bowl. It's not. He did get to the playoffs the very next year, but every year got a little bit worse. Is that a concern? Yeah, it is. It is a concern. But your other options are unknowns. Do you want to go known or unknown? Do you want to go guy that had head coaching experience, made it to the top of the mountain, but fell off of it? Or a guy like Nathaniel Hackett, Eric Bieniemy, Aaron Glenn, Byron Leftwich, Kevin O'Connell, Jerod Mayo, Kellen Moore. Are you more inclined to go with a guy like Dan Quinn or Doug Peterson, who both have been to the Super Bowl? Doug won. Or do you want to go with a guy that you can grow with? So I'll admit, I'm torn. I am leaning toward Dan Quinn for several reasons. One, because I think that that's the way they're going. So I'm kind of just leaning in on that. I think that's the way the Broncos will go, if he wants to do it. I think it's the most attractive opening of the jobs that are out there, the Bears being one of those jobs. But the question will be is where do you want to get a guy like, try to get a guy like McVay and Shanahan, bring them in, and you grow with them. And you have a guy that can be a part of your organization for years and years to come. And Quinn could be that guy. He's not that old. He's in his early 50s, right? But I've thought about this, and I've looked at the experience side of it, leadership, the fact that George Payton's talking so highly about leadership, it does seem to come back to Quinn. If leadership is your number one philosophy, like that's your number one thing, it's going to be hard to hire a coordinator. I mean, Jerod Mayo, like, why is he even being interviewed? He's only a half of the linebacking coach team in New England. He coaches the interior linebackers, I believe. It's Belichick's son that coaches the other set of linebackers. So I'm a little shocked by the interview there. Not going to be him. O'Connell's interesting. Kellen Moore, I can't imagine. Maybe. I just feel like Quinn, to me right now, the way I feel about this is Doug Peterson, Dan Quinn. Those are your top two. I think Nathaniel Hackett's name keeps coming up quite a bit. Maybe those are your three. That's where I feel right now, that it's Quinn, Peterson, and Hackett. Two former head coaches that have been to the top of the mountain, and one who's pretty damn good offensive coordinator that Aaron Rodgers speaks extremely highly of, by the way. Who are you going with? 23 minutes after the hour. Shout out to the GOAT. Catch up on all your favorite moments, man. You probably watched the national championship over there. You can build up on these playoffs starting on Saturday. Man, what better spot to go to than the GOAT? Greeley's real, true, local sports bar. It's the place to be for local and national events. Refers to the greatest of all time for a reason. They are when it comes to Northern Colorado. They've got a 360-degree bar top, patio seating, 36 HD TVs to watch your favorite teams play. 36 HD TVs so that you can go watch any game at any time, playoffs. No better place to be than the GOAT. 24 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Bears basketball on the Voice of the Bears. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Love and Rev Chiropractic, man. I just so happy I found these folks located off of Highway 34 and 35th Avenue in the same shopping center as, well, shopping center. There's a Home Depot right there. And I found these guys through the Greeley Chamber of Commerce, actually. And, got to talking to Dr. Tyler Terry, and I said, you know what? I'm going to give it a shot because my back's been killing me for years, and I'm tired of it. I used to, seriously, I would be driving in my car. My back would be hurting so bad. My upper right back. I would take my empty coffee mug, coffee cup. I'd shut it, make sure it was obviously all the way shut. And I would put it behind me up on my chair so that I could just like lean in on it and grind on it so it could like give my back some kind of alleviation from the pain. Somehow. I mean, that would be my whole drive back home. It was dry. That's nuts, right? When you're putting a coffee cup behind your back to try to find relief, and just like my mom used to put like a baseball behind hers, and I was killing me. I was like, this is ridiculous. So I went to Rev Chiropractic, and I'll tell you, it wasn't overnight. They didn't do a couple of cracks, and I walked out of there feeling relief. It was a different process than I've ever tried. I mean, they're not cracking you. You get on there, they're checking you out. They have a full-on assessment, by the way. They get an x-ray of you. They go through everything that you're going to need. And it's not just, hey, plug and play. Anybody's going to get the same treatment. And I am happy to say I have not put a coffee cup behind my back driving my car for over a year. Michael, you go there as well, don't you?
Yeah, Dr. Haley and I, she went over my latest x-rays and showed how well I have done. Like my neck is so much more improved. My lower back is so much more improved. Like it's almost night and day. My only issue is like my upper spine, but we're going to do more intense work on that. But
you seem taller.
Yeah.
And I'm not even just joking. You actually seemed a little bit taller.
You know, I've actually received two compliments
well,
about how
I
look like I'm standing up straight.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm glad it's helping, man.
It really is helping, and it's really, really worth it.
It is. So like I'm saying, if you're struggling with back pain and you've had it forever and you can't get past it, talk to our friends at Rev Chiropractic. I'm telling you. Michael doesn't like to get out of the station a whole heck of a lot, unless it's for like a new Marvel movie or something.
Yeah.
But he will get out for Rev Chiropractic.
Yeah, I really do believe in what they do.
No question about it. Dr. Tyler Terry, Dr. Haley Harada, and they are recently engaged, by the way. I saw that on their Instagram feed. So it is fully, truly family-owned and operated. Support this young couple, man. They're doing a great business throughout Northern Colorado. Tom, don't call me Tommy Shaw. Man, it's good to hear from you. One of our legendary Hall of Famers, for sure. Tom, don't call me Tommy Shaw, is a Hall of Famer. Happy New Year, Brady. Are some of these interviews maybe pre-interviews for assistant coaches positions? Yeah, absolutely. You know, because even when they hired Vic Fangio, they interviewed Mike Munchak, and they didn't end up giving him the job, but they gave him the offensive coordinator job, too. I'll be curious to see if Munchak sticks around and what that looks like. But yeah, that's a lot of it. When you're interviewing coaches, I don't know how much of what that, if that's said in the initial interview, I don't know. Because, yeah, a lot of these guys on the list could easily come over for a team and be a part of that. But my guess is this, is George Payton's going to hire his head coach, a guy like Dan Quinn, and let him hire the staff. Because I think that John Elway hired some of the staff, and then Fangio made some of those decisions. 31 minutes after the hour. Let's see if we can catch up with Mike Brohard. Colorado State has a huge game coming up against Utah State tomorrow. We'll talk to Mike about that with CSURams.com and RamWire. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Just 36 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, Mike Brohard of CSURams.com and our RamWire Insider. Mike, good to catch up with you as always, my friend.
How you guys doing today?
You know what? We're hanging in there. There's no shortage of news, man. There's constant news coming up in the sports world, obviously. I tell you what, though. Last night, I had fun watching the national championship game. I thought it was first half, defensive, gritty. Second half, we got to see some fireworks. So it was kind of, for me, it was kind of the best of both worlds.
Yeah, I thought it was a really entertaining national championship game. And it was. It was a complete defensive game in that first half. And then things started to open up a little bit. It was good to see Georgia get its run game going to help out Bennett. They make some big plays on offense, they make some big plays on defense. we all ended up with an entertaining game.
Yeah, no, I agree. People were complaining about the field goals in the first half. I like a good defensive game, but then if you throw in a nice little mix, especially that fourth quarter where I said, you know, we get to see some of those fireworks, you can't beat it. You get a little bit of everything in that one. Mike, unfortunately, Saturday was a rough day for us here, for some of the teams we cover as far as the Broncos, the Bears, and, of course, the Rams. CSU loses their first game of the season. It was a weird situation as far as scheduling. They were supposed to play Boise State on Friday. COVID issues within Boise's program forced CSU to look for a different game. Arizona was maybe in that mix, and then suddenly we get Mountain West steps in and says, let's make the San Diego State game happen. Whew. So talk us through it, Mike, my friend. We had a chance to talk from David's side of it earlier, David Roddy. But what did you see with this team as far as the supporting cast? Roddy got his. Isaiah Stevens got his. But for the rest of the team, 13 points. So it was a kind of a rough outing for everybody else.
Yeah, you need this team. As well as Roddy and Stevens play, they need that supplemental scoring. It needs to come from somewhere. I didn't think they got a lot out of their bigs that game. Tanjay was a little bit off. Chandler Jacobs. I mean, when you talk about 13 points from the rest of the group, you just need more, especially if you're going to play San Diego State, NBA Haas Arena. So, but the one thing that you do is you go away from that game, and I think they looked at it the right way. I mean, you have to look at it closely. What did they not do well? But you can't take it too seriously that a team that well got beat that bad. Again, second game after a 24-day break, not a whole lot of practice, definitely still not at 100%. But this game shows them they have to get there a little bit quicker than they might have wanted.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you do think that this team, we said it, at some point, you know, they're going to have to probably have a lesson where they learn. I don't know that anybody was, you know, taking money and predicting Colorado State to go all the way undefeated, certainly with especially two San Diego State games on the docket at that point. Is this a good thing, Mike, ultimately? I mean, nobody wants to see a 30-point loss, but is this one where you can say, all right, they come off of the COVID pause. I know they had the Air Force game. Maybe there was some rust, a mix of getting kind of an interesting game thrown in the mix. They're just the perfect storm. Is this ultimately one of those things where you can look at and say, this is probably good for them at this stage in the season to lose like that?
I don't know if ever losing by 30 to a conference foe is good. And it's probably not good when you do it as a ranked team. Now, for them to make it a good loss, it's how they react to it. And it's how they react to it this week with a couple more games coming up. Do you learn from it? You know, did you do it the right way and come back to practice? And, again, not take it too seriously because you know you're a better team, but look at the things that ailed you and fix them and get them ready to go. So that's how you make it a good loss. I mean, on the surface, no. You never want to lose by 30 to a conference foe, especially as a low-ranked team, like I said. But do you react to it the right way? And this team is mature enough to do exactly that.
Talking to Mike Brohard with CSURams.com. Now you turn the page here, and I think that this game, to me, is really big tomorrow night against Utah State because, you know, you want to get that bad taste out of your mouth quickly. Obviously, the Rams pop out of the top 25. So I know this group. I know the coaching staff. They are eager to get right back out there on the floor against another Mountain West opponent.
Yeah, they are, and Utah State's a good test for them. I mean, they've been a little bit up and down, but they are still playing pretty solid basketball. Justin Bean's a really good player. This is a game where, you go back to that 24-day break, and Air Force is an odd team, and playing Viejas is a tough assignment, but you have to keep getting back to where you're now. Okay, this is our third game back from that break. Do we have our legs back? Do we have our focus back? Are we picking up our defensive assignments? Have we gotten our shooting touch back? Those are all things they're going to keep working on, and they're going to want to look impressive on their home court at Moby on Wednesday night.
Talk to us about Justin Bean. I mean, I talked to Roddy. I said, man, he's like you in the sense where he can score from all over the floor. He has just gotten so much better this year. I think he's averaging almost 20 points per game, 10 rebounds. He's a heck of a ball player.
Yeah, offensive efficiency-wise, he's one of the better players in the country, not just the conference. And, yeah, it is interesting. Bean can do a lot of things, and I think because of that, he can frustrate teams, just kind of like Roddy does. But, yeah, he's got some parts around him that are still really good. They lost their coach last year. They're under a new coaching regime. But still, this is a team that you know, you just have a feeling they're going to be in the top four. They're going to have something to say about who wins the conference title and what the pecking order is should tiebreakers come into effect.
What kind of team do you think Utah State is then? Because obviously they lose to Air Force, and I think Air Force is better than a lot of us thought. They struggle, but they do get by New Mexico. Do you think this is one of those teams, though, that you see, Mike, in the thick of it, 5-10 games from now, they're going to be right there in that, you know, top four, top five standings type of deal in the Mountain West?
Yeah, I still think they've got that kind of flow to them because they're a team that defensively can kind of muck it up for you and make it not an easy offensive night for you, whether you're at home or whether you're on the road. But so they're just one of those teams that can get under your skin. And, again, that's the way they have been. From what I've watched, and I've watched a couple of their games this year, that they still come across to me that way. Like the St. Mary's game was one of those games to me where they're just going to make it difficult for you on the deep, you know, as an offensive team, and just kind of muck it up. And then they find their way to get to their points. They will get guys open behind the arc. They will hit some shots, and then Bean will just go ahead and do some things that he does. Either he'll get some offensive glass when you don't expect him to do it, and he'll get a putback. Or, you know, he'll just hit a runner or something. They're just a team to me that can get under your skin.
Yeah, I'm excited for this one tomorrow night. Were you shocked that the Rams were knocked out of the top 25 after that loss Saturday, Mike?
No, because they hadn't played in a while. I don't think they've, you know, if they'd never had that pause, I'm pretty positive they wouldn't have lost by 30 points, one.
Yeah.
But two, I also think they would have been in the collective memory of the voters other than just one game, which was kind of a tight game against an Air Force team, which, you know, if you don't have the 24, is it still a tight game? Who knows? But, so I guess I wasn't completely shocked because, you know, they're not a Power 5 team, and voters around the country generally seem to give them more of a leeway when things aren't going right or if you look at circumstances that CSU was under. So I guess I'm not shocked. I'm also not going to be shocked when they work their way back into the rankings.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you next is I think there's no doubt. I think all of us believe they'll get back up into that top 25. How far back do you think they can get? Do you think they can get to that under that 20 mark again?
You know, it's possible. I mean, college basketball is a fun sport in that regard is that even teams that are playing well will have an off night, and it will alter the rankings a little bit here and there. CSU is the type of team that once they get back to the way that they were playing before in the next couple of games, which I think everybody would expect, this is a team that can go on a run even in the Mountain West, which is a really good conference. Because if you look at it, I mean, when you look at net rankings and things like that, San Diego State's moving up. Wyoming's looked pretty good. Utah State's looked pretty good. Boise's looked pretty good. Boise's going to have a tough stretch coming up, looking at some of the alterations on their schedule because of COVID concerns. And I think that's the other thing you still have to look out for. I mean, not everybody is out of the woods. I mean, there were still games being altered this week because of that. And you still don't know where, I mean, when you look at Colorado State, they've got to make up that New Mexico game. They still got to make up a Boise State game. When do those fit into the schedule? And does it mean you're going to end up playing three games in 6 days, three games in 5 days, you know, three games in 5 days, I think, which is what Boise's got to do. It's going to be interesting how the schedule still gets readjusted as we go down the stretch.
Mike, what are you seeing throughout the rest of the conference then? I mean, obviously there's still some teams we're keeping our eyes out for as COVID situation and pauses and such. But you said it, we're not out of the woods yet. Do you see light at the end of the tunnel for the majority of this conference, perhaps even all of this conference, to get to the point where we kind of ease back into getting away from the pauses and postponements?
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting. I was talking to one of the women's officials before CSU's game on Sunday, their women's game on Sunday, and he was like, you know, this is kind of almost as bad as last year, if not worse. And the thing that we were talking about is, okay, once everybody gets hit, then you've pretty much got a three-month cushion to whereas if players have gotten it. Now, the other thing is you hear teams are hit, but how hard? You know,
right.
Was it four players on their team or was it 10 players? You know, in some ways, the more players you get hit with the first time, the safer you are in terms of who's going to be available for a long stretch of time. Because, you know, the way the protocols work, you know, if you've contracted COVID, they're not going to test you really for another 3 months. And that carries you through the rest of the conference season, even through the conference tournament, where coaches can kind of go, this is my roster. I know I'm pretty much set with it. And that's what's going to make it interesting is, yeah, some of these teams have been hit, but how hard? You know, Boise State said they got hit hard. So if Leon Rice is coming out saying we got hit hard, you've got to think that once they're clear, they're good to go for the rest of the way through.
Yeah, no, that's an outstanding point. So that does kind of, you know, bode well if you're looking at it and looking at these teams that maybe we will kind of in a month or so, whatever that looks like, we'll kind of get to, for lack of a better term, smooth sailing perhaps. Mike, always appreciate you, man. What are you working on for us so we can check out at CSURams.com the next couple of days?
Games that are actually very close to my heart because of personal circumstances, but I think it's a very neat concept that UC Health and the men's and women's basketball programs here have come up with a game each year where the men's team and the women's team will wear the name of a local cancer warrior, generally through the Harmony campus and the infusion center there at UC Health. It gives them a chance to really support the two basketball programs, to support the community that supports them so well. Take a pause, and instead of playing for not just, you know, your name on the back, but somebody else's. And I know in talking to players in the past, it means a ton to them. They take on, they feel it's a responsibility and an honor to play for somebody else and take their name off the jersey one time and put somebody else's on. And this year, one of the names is one of our own here at CSU, and it's Kim Austin, who as she was known back in 94 to 98, she played wore number 42 here back in the day. Well, Carly Murphy wears 42, and Carly Murphy is going to represent Bedinga Zamba at this game. And I know Kim is very emotional about what she's going to actually witness and how it's going to hit her on Saturday when the women's game takes place. The men's game will take place on January 28th. And they're declaring this bigger than basketball, and it really is.
Yeah, Mike, I'm glad you brought that up too. Saw the press release, bigger than basketball. Love that title, and I think this is an absolutely fantastic thing for Colorado State, for the entire community. And I appreciate you opening up a bit about that too, and sharing that with us. We'll be sure to talk about that throughout the rest of the week to let folks know. But appreciate your insight there, my friend. All right, Mike, let's catch up with you next week. We'll see what happens with these programs going forward. And again, an exciting game coming up tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's really kind of a big week. I mean, the men's got a couple games. The women's have a couple games. They're all big now because you're in conference play. And I just think it's a fun time now for Colorado State Athletics.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Mike Brohard of CSURams.com and RamWire. Always love catching up with Mr. Brohard. 50 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the show on the other side. We'll get to what's on TV. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're listening to Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
The insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Want to shout out to Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies, Greeley's hometown orthopedic group for over 51 years now. They've been the specialists in medicine of motion. They have 6 medical campuses, and they provide care along the Front Range. Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies is proud to be now Greeley's hometown orthopedic group as well. If you want to check out more information, go to orthohealth.com. That's orthohealth.com. Oh, busy night tonight on the Tube. You've got, it's 6 o'clock. You got this will be perfect. You can watch the Colorado Avalanche take on the Nashville Predators. 6 o'clock, that's going to be on ESPN+. And then at 8:30 tonight, a late one for the Denver Nuggets and the Los Angeles Clippers. That game set for 8:30 on NBA TV. The Nuggets are 20-18. The Avs are 22-8-2. They are absolutely rolling right now. So, I mean, the Avs look good. The Nuggets are trying to figure it out. So some positive stuff happening, at least with the Ball Arena teams, if they can bounce back. I'm looking at this Nuggets game. This could be three in a row for them. Will Barton maybe in the COVID protocols, at least at this point. You do have the Clippers, though, that remain. They continue to battle through their season absolutely depleted. So this is an opportunity. As I said, the schedule does ease up a bit for the Nuggets, a good opportunity for them to start pulling away from that 500 mark. They're 20-18. Now's the time to kind of make a run here. Still some tough games coming up, but an opportunity to win heck of a lot more than you lose, at least in the month of January. It's going to do it for us. Keep in mind, we got Betting Across America coming up with Mike Pritchard and company, and then the Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary, and the UNC Bears Coaches Show live from the go with Jerry Schimmel coming up tonight at 6 o'clock. Good night, Northern Colorado.